Ja eikä mana oo eikä maha. Ja veipi oo eikä ulannane. Na nahku ja koholla lelle.
Eddie Kamaya and the Sons of Hawaii this morning on The Conversation. This is The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. I'm Bill Dorman in today for Catherine Cruz. Eddie and Sons of Hawaii is singing about Hawaii Island's Waipio Valley, of course, a historic place of stunning beauty, rich in history, cultural significance, and agricultural lands. The Bishop Museum has owned most of the valley for more than 100 years, leasing land to local farmers, often going from generation to generation. 3 years ago, the museum announced its intentions to sell the land. But this past January, the museum took the land off the market, saying it was opening up, quote, opportunities for partnerships of its mission, which includes the perpetuation of living culture. Today, as part of our partnership with the Center for Oral History at the University of Hawaii, we're featuring some interviews done 41 years ago with taro farmers who worked at the land, saw the valley through a lot of changes. We're also joined today in the studio by Morgan Toledo, who still farms taro in the valley, and also by Raymond Kong, Vice President General Counsel of Bishop Museum. We'd also like you to join us. You got some memories of Waipio Valley? Questions about its present or its future? You can give us a call, 941-3689, or from Neighbor Islands, 1-877-941-3689, or you can drop us an email at talkback@hawaiipublicradio.org. Gentlemen, welcome. Thanks for joining us. And Morgan, I'm going to start with you. So you are the third generation of your family to farm taro on that land of the valley. A little later on in the program, we're going to be hearing the voice of your father.
Yep.
But just to start, how's the valley these days?
It's beautiful. I see that things is changing in a good way and perpetuating more with the next generation, you know. So I get excited.
Yeah, and the family involved in that. We'll get back to that in a bit. Raymond Kong, Vice President General Counsel of Bishop Museum. So in January, the museum pulled the land off the market, saying in a news release at the time that it's developing a long-range plan for the protection, conservation, and selective restoration of the natural and cultural resources in the valley. How's it going?
Well, Bill, first of all, thanks very much for having us. This is a really important topic. It's going well. We continue to build the relationships with our partners, with the taro farmers themselves, and reaching out to other private owners and other agencies that can help contribute to the process of preserving Waipio Valley.
And a bit of a turnaround in terms of to go from, again, 3 years ago, oh, we've had this land for more than a century and it's going to be sold, and a little uncertainty there for the folks in the valley, and then now sort of changing that to keeping that.
Indeed, yeah. In 2016, you know, the museum announced it was putting the land up for sale, part of the museum's 2016 strategic plan. 3 years later, the museum has worked very hard. Staff and leadership have made a lot of sacrifices and worked hard together to really stabilize the museum's finances, and they've done an outstanding job of kind of righting that ship. And so under those new conditions, the board of directors voted to remove the lands from the market, no longer needing a sale to help keep the museum afloat.
So the idea was it was a financial issue that maybe sell the land to raise money. $10 million was a figure that was floated at the time. But that's no longer the case.
Yeah, yeah. That I think it's become participating in the valley and sharing and learning from the farmers who are our partners. They're tenants, but they are our partners. We've learned that it should be part of the museum's mission to help protect, and it's part of the museum's collection. It's a living collection.
Mm-hmm. We're going to hear some more in terms of, again, mentioned the oral history aspect of this. And as I mentioned, our partners at the Center for Oral History at University of Hawaii pulled some excerpts from a series of interviews that were done in 1978, 41 years ago. The first you're going to hear is with Nelson Ahoy Chun. He was born in Waipio Valley in 1900 to Chinese immigrants. His father had rice fields in the valley. Now, Nelson took him over in 1928 and switched the farming to taro. And when he did the interview, he was 78 years old and living in Honoka'a.
Who was the most successful rice farmer?
My father is pretty good because he has so much. Out of 1 acre, I think he produced the highest.
How about taro?
Taro, I think akioka. Mokchok, they call them. But the Hawaiians call them akioka. Mokchiu is another one.
Why was his so good, do you think?
Well, he has good land and he know how. He's an old timer.
Do you know what variety he was planting?
Those days, mostly uo taro. Nowadays, mostly api, and they get some lehua. Before, get lehua too, but very little.
Why did the change occur from uawa?
Well, uawa doesn't do so good afterwards. Doesn't grow so well. Api outgrow the uawa. And api is faster crop. Uawa, at least 18 to 19 months before you can harvest. Api, you can harvest 14, 15 months you can harvest already. And api is heavier taro, but uawa has more quantity. Out of one plant, you get so many small ones, they call ohai, the small ones there. Some get 15, 20, we get some up to 30 ohai.
Today, who is growing good taro in the valley?
We don't know. Everybody get good and bad nowadays because get disease and all kinds. Look, today I was harvesting. I get 4 patches in a row. This is the last patch I'm harvesting. It's supposed to be the best patch and yet the worst one. Plenty of rot. I used to get a 100-pound kind. I used to get 100 old bags from there. Lucky if I can get 60 bags a day. You know, play the rot. The ones no rot are right? Big, the taro is good size like this. And small ones big like this. You know. And some get 5, 6, some 7, 8. Taro is something funny. Kausima is just above my place. He lose a lot, you know. I don't know. I think it's more of the land than nothing. But how can you blame the land? Because my land, I didn't plant for over 2 years.
You think people moved out because there weren't jobs in the valley?
Yeah, not enough jobs.
Would you like to see your children continue growing taro in the future?
I don't think they would like. They get good work, a good job. Taro. If you don't know how it's hard work, but you know how it's easy work.
Taro, you know how it's easy work. Morgan, I see you just nodding your head and a big smile on your face, brother.
Yeah, if you love what you're doing, it's a joy. You know, growing taro, it's ingrained in you, you know, and the taro feel it too, you know.
Oh.
It's important, so yeah, we got to go that way, yeah.
And hearing him, you know, talk about the different varieties and the different sort of challenges there of, like, sometimes you think, some of that sound familiar to you, yeah?
Yeah. Lehua is my favorite taro, but it's really a delicate, you know, it's diseases can come and grab them, but I still love that taro because the thing is sweet, and that's my favorite taro I'm growing right now.
Yeah, and when you do, you're talking before about you talk to your taro, yeah?
Oh, yeah, it's every day, you know. Like I said before I came, I just talk to taro, not to people, so 24/7, so that's my babies, yeah.
Morgan Toledo, he's farms taro right now in, well, not right now, this morning, but Waipio Valley. And we're on the conversation also talking with Raymond Kong. He's general counsel of Bishop Museum, which is the basically the landlord in terms of a lot of the land on in Waipio Valley. The and Raymond, the challenge of the diseases, the plants of keeping that fresh. Of there's a learning curve, I guess, for Bishop, although you have been there, but having a new kind of involvement with this.
Well, we're not farmers, so we certainly rely on the farmers to let us know what's going on and how we can help if we can. I mean, some of the larger issues involve stream maintenance, and that is an area that the museum can help with, because the stream flows primarily through the museum properties. And so, you know, sometimes it takes a little extra assistance to deal with government agencies and others that have jurisdiction over those waters. And so, you know, while we may not have been as helpful in the past, we are now. We're in it for the long haul. We're partners, and you know, whatever we can do to help, we'll do.
You know, that water, we'll come back to that as an issue as well. And by the way, we would love to hear from you. Questions, memories, legends about the valley, let us know. 941-3689. If you're calling from Oahu, Neighbor Islands, you can call in toll free 877-941-3689. But for now, let's go back to another one of those oral history interviews talking about water. Albert Kalani, he was born in Kona in 1908, did a number of jobs as a young man. He was a cowboy at Huehue Ranch, construction worker in Puna, also on Maui, fisherman in Kona, before he moved to Waipio about 1930. He worked in poi factories there, a couple of those. That was a big industry, sending over to Waimea. Raised his own taro until 1960. And also, as with a lot of folks, doing other jobs, employed by the Depression-era relief agencies around that time, the Department of Parks and Recreation as well. When he did this interview, again, it was in 1978, he was 70 and living in Honoka'a.
First time I saw Waipio, I think nice place to live, you know, good place. Well, I mean that you have to do, you know, work in order to know what is the life of what doing. We just only stay, you know.
Can you tell us again why you decided to leave Kona?
Kona never had any more work yet, especially after I left the ranch. I had to get a job, no more job.
When you first moved to Waipio, how was it different from Kona?
In Waipio, it's a lot of water. You can just use the water all you want. They have everything. And of course, the first beginning I came to Waipio, I didn't know about anything in Waipio. I didn't, you know, the food, the kind of, you know, eating all those things that would kind of get me there, you know, for a while, shrimps, that gory open, all those things. Oh, never get anything stopped there. You want to go down a beach, the beach are near. If you don't have any taro patches, you get a lot of taro. You can go to a taro patch and bring some taro. You ask a friend, they give you. You know, they just give you. You help them, they give you. You have a lot of money, apples, mangoes, oranges. They have all those things in West. I don't think that anybody went hungry. I think if he went hungry, he's lazy to move around and do it. Today is different altogether. I don't know how come, but today they say you better not drink on day, you might get some kind of disease or sickness. A lot of people had some sick, they blame Waipio water. Today the people that born and raised in Waipio, they don't want to drink that water. They go down Waipio, they take anything. Fresh water, you know, it's your own water to drink.
When you were living at the Apaks, your job was what?
In a taro farm like that. After I got the job in Waipio, then I've been working in a poi shop like that.
That was with Akioka?
Yeah, all together here we are, but 10 of us employees, 10 or 12 of us employees.
Chinese, most Chinese and about three of us Hawaiian boys and Filipino. Monday, go to taro, pet pull taro, and bring it back to the boy shop. We cook the taro, and then after that, then we peel the taro. After you peel the taro, then you grind it, put in a machine. Right? Then after that, the boy come out. Tuesday, we deliver the boy to Waimea. And Wednesday, we go back, pull taro. Thursday, we take a boy shop. And then Friday, we go back to Waimea again.
Those days, was the poi thicker?
Yeah, the poi is thicker.
Thicker poi, but boy, 1978, talking about issues with the water. And, Ward, I don't know, in terms of now, these days, water, of course, always a concern, but how are things in terms of water?
Right now, my property where I am is on the first water that comes into one the Waimanu site.
Oh.
And it's really good.
Mm-hmm.
Taking care of your water is 95% of taro farming. You know, without that water and the freshness of the water, the taro not grow good. Eh? So it's really important. River maintenance is big. You know, and I mean the rivers a lot, making sure that water is nice and clean. Yeah.
And how about when floods, heavy rains, impact of that?
Every time we go to Umuai, it means big water.
Huh.
I go into my river and I banking up again and all of that. We're not supposed to get permits and all that, but it's part of the culture. We gotta protect our banks and the rivers. So I go in and do what I gotta do to perpetuate, you know, the taro.
And in terms of other folks farming taro and working the land now, you know, it's just a common thread that you hear in all of these oral histories is this, the community helping each other and people doing what needs to be done and sort of that spirit of sharing, that spirit of going through something together. Still a big part of life in the valley, yeah?
Oh, yes, very much. You know, sometimes if we get big water and something happen, you know, I get the biggest tractors in Waipu, so, you know, I'm doing for free so that they can get water to their low ease.
So you know, everybody know your number, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. It's the way of the valley, eh? You know. We got to protect each other, eh? And make sure that taro get water. Eh? Yeah.
And Raymond Connor, the Bishop Museum, in terms of that water, that maintenance of the water, and you mentioned before that stream maintenance, one of the challenges.
Indeed. So, and as you mentioned, we have a right of private landowners, and you have tenants, and everybody has, you know, the best of intentions with taking care of the water and the stream. But, you know, there are different government agencies that have different rules, and we just have to follow them. And I think in the past with the museum not being as involved, difficult for the community members to figure out exactly what to do and when to do it and how to do it. And so we're trying to lend our support and reach out not just to the those that lease property from us, but the broader community. It's a big step in trying to build a relationship, not just with the tenants, but also just the broader community, other folks who are farming in the valley, and trying to find a way for all of us to work together.
And Morgan, back on the, again, just sitting here on Oahu and reading about things as they happened. I remember when that came out that Bishop was, several years ago, they're going to sell the land. I mean, it was confusing from here, but for you folks in the valley, I mean, what was that time like?
For about 25 years, we was going through some stuff with Bishop Museum and everything, and now I see with... with Bishop Museum, our relationship is bigger now, mm-hmm. better, and I think this gonna be good, you know, and I think we're going forward as one team, eh?
Yeah.
You know, before it was by ourselves. And like I said, I'm getting excited because I see the end of the tunnel, you know, that, you know, they working to each other together is important, you know.
Yeah, and that's that way forward. We're talking about this morning on the conversation about the Whitebia Valley. Tower Farmer Morgan Toledo, you just heard. Also, Bishop Museum Vice President General Counsel Raymond Kong. Love to hear from you if you have views on this, if you have questions about, what's involved in your tarot. What makes good poi, actually? You mentioned that before in terms of the water. 95% of this is the water, yeah?
Yeah, it's important. I make my own poi, too. We make about 1,000 to 1,200 pounds every week from our farm. And there's a passion, you know. When you're making the poi, you're going to bring them to the community or the kupuna, so I like them be the best. So it's just with the tarot. You grow the tarot good, the quality gonna be up, you know what I mean? And it's just a passion, you know, for the tarot and the valley and, you know, what I'm doing.
Passion. We'd love to hear from you if you've got thoughts, if you've got questions. For Oahu, 941-3689. Neighbor Islands, toll-free, 877-941-3689. And again, we're going through these oral histories. Let's listen to another one of these. Fanny Doldulo was born 1911, Waipio Valley. Father was a taro farmer. And except for a year and a half when she went to Hilo High School, she lived her whole life in Waipio and Kukui Haile. She worked 15 years in the Ono Ono Poi Shop. I love the name of that. It's Ono Ono Poi Shop. She farmed taro for 45 years. Check this. She had 7 children with her first husband, had 7 more with her second husband. When she did this interview in 1978, she lived in Kukui Haile and was still commuting to Waipio to tend to the family taro patches.
Do you know what your mom's parents did in Waipio?
Well, I guess when they were young, they were raising taro.
Did they raise to sell the taro?
Well, yeah, they sell the taro because those days were cheap. Uh-huh. You know this kala and the kahili. They never, you know, Joe and they never used to plant taro. Those people were kept by my daddy. When we used to go down fishing, my dad bring taro, you know, take taro down. Because when you go down there fishing, they get fish, they give us like that.
You mean they traded?
Yeah, because, you know, by giving us fish like that, so my dad give them taro.
How much fish would he give?
Well, you know, if they give few, or, you know, he doesn't care if plenty or little, but he just give them half a bag or three quarter bag or one bag. He just give them.
Did he ever sell to poi shop?
Oh, yeah. Waipio, they used to have poi shop. They have 2, I remember. That's the Ahana. That's the Chang's daddy used to be. And then Makchu. And then the other one was where I stay now, Akyoka. That was the biggest, Akyoka. Because my brother used to work for them too. You know, packing taro on the pack animals. Mom used to work there and used to work for Chang's, my father.
What did she do for them?
Peel. You know, I was big, I think about 5 years. I think that time I used to go along with my mom too. You know, she peeled, you know, and I'd keep the taro peels, you know, and give it because we raise chicken and pigs like that. Yeah, we put them on a pack animal. They used to pack so much taro in Waimea too, you know, Kamuela. All to the horse pack, you know, on the mule pack saddle.
You mean bringing taro
the, yeah, the poi.
To Waipio? Oh.
The poi.
The poi.
Yeah, they bring the poi from Waipio and then take them, deliver to Waimea. And, you know, back of the poi shop where you say plenty watercress. And, you know, before get so much food better than today. Plenty to eat.
And when you're at home, what kind of food did you eat the most?
Well, we have chicken and we have ducks. You know, we raise pigs. We have our own milking cow, to tell you that. We have so much horses, everything we got. We didn't have to worry for meat like that.
Did you folks have a garden too?
Oh, about garden, you talk about garden. Everything you can think of, we have cabbage, beans, and everything.
Who took care of the garden?
Me and my daddy, my mom. We had below our house, where Rye is staying now. We have a big home over there. We had two patches over there. We didn't raise taro. So we raised head cabbage, all kinds. I had everything that I can think of without spending money. You know, everything was really from the, you know, from the land what we raised.
Yeah, everything from the land, no need money, yeah. More a little different these days, yeah?
Yeah, no? You know, I think we got to be more back to sustainable again, you know, so we don't, you know, grow our own stuff.
Talking about sustainable, talking about Poi, talking about Terra, talking about Waipio Valley on the Big Island here on The Conversation. 941-3689 for your perspectives. And this is The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. I'm Bill Dorman. You can join this discussion from Neighbor Islands as well, 1-877-941-3689. Going to take a little break. We'll be right back.
Support for Hawaii Public Radio comes from Kumu Kahua Theater, presenting Da Bia Can Hat, the story of Bobo, who doesn't have much but does have his one best friend, on now through June 23rd. Tickets at kumukahua.org.
Back on The Conversation, talking about the Waipio Valley here, and Morgan Toledo, we've got a question. Actually, it's a caller who called in, not staying on the line, though, but Kelly in Waikapu says she just moved here, sees poi in stores, and she tried it. She doesn't love it, but she's curious about the value and importance of poi in Hawaiian culture.
Well, we're not growing enough taro, so the availability of taro is down right now, you know. So, and I look at the price in the stores, it's almost $12 one pound. My whole idea is to drop the price and grow more taro so we can feed our kupunas, you know what I mean?
Oh.
Yeah, it's we need more taro. More farmers, yeah.
So Raymond Kahn with us from the Bishop Museum, and in terms of being able to help, I don't know, scale production, or what plans, what thoughts, what guidance can you provide, perhaps?
Yeah, so we, you know, our first step was reestablishing our relationship with the community and the taro farmers, and part of that process was giving them some more stability by giving them longer leases so that they can plan and better invest. And so right now we have about 95 parcels that are leased out to about 27 different families. And now we're ready for the next step is how do we maximize crop yield and maximize the farming in all of those spaces and encouraging more, you know, parcels. There are still some parcels that are available that they all need work. The hard work still needs to happen to prepare the lo'i. A lot of these parcels haven't been farmed in a long time. But that's the next step, is trying to figure out how do we go ahead and figure out how much can we grow and how do we get there. And it's going to just require more partnership and working together.
And who else is there in terms of other land ownership, for example?
The state has some parcels down in the valley floor. Kamehameha Schools also owns property in the valley floor. They also own some property at the rim, and there are just a variety of other private landowners, some of which are actively farming, or they'll lease it to other farmers to lease those properties as well.
But there's room for growth, basically.
Yeah.
You know, every one of these interviews that we've been hearing from the oral histories is something special, but this next one has particular resonance. Morgan, we're going to hear the voice of your father. This is Merrill Toledo. He was born in 1936 in Hakalau. 1968, he quit his job at the Lapahoehoe Sugar Company. Started doing independent tractor jobs, heard you mention tractor. Yeah, still in the family.
I learned from you.
He also began raising taro in Waipio Valley. When he did this interview, he was 42, living in Kukui'ahele, and he was one of the largest taro growers in the valley. 3 years before this interview, he founded the Waipio Taro Growers Association.
That's correct, yeah.
What made you decide to go into farming taro?
Well, plantation at that time was real small. So taro was a business building up by itself, in a sense. Prices was going up and this and that. And I got interested to have married my wife, which is from Kukui'ahele. My father-in-law was raising taro. So that's how things started. Went down there and opened some land.
Where did you get the land from?
At Bishop Estate. Actually from my father-in-law, he had the land before. Then opened all the land up and then prepared it for 4 or 5 years before I quit. So how's that go? And I had everything set up, then I quit. Okay.
How many acres did you lease from your father-in-law then?
From Bishop.
From Bishop.
13.5 acres. And I have 12 acres from the state and 3 acres of my own free simple land.
When you first leased the land, how much did it cost?
And the rental didn't change. Still at $168 plus $66 property tax per year.
For all your acreage?
13.5 acres from Bishop Estate. From the state, the state land is 11.5 acres, I pay $200 plus property tax. I run up about $235, I guess.
In clearing the land now, were there patches already there?
There was raw land, all with trees and everything. Pumpkin pot, guavas and everything else. All raw land.
And how did you make the patches then?
Well, I cleaned all the, grub everything out first and then start to make the terraces and stuff.
How did you know how to make the terraces?
I'm a tractor operator, see, in trade. So I just saw a lot of farmers had to do this done, so I just did it.
This current rot, do you know what it's called?
Pythium.
And you first noticed that in your patches when?
Oh, way back in 1972, 73, I think it was.
What kind of losses did you have?
Last year I lost 500 bags, only last year. But before it was worse, some patches, 100 bag patches, to get only 10 bags.
What has been done about the rot?
Nothing.
Outside? Did you ever think of giving it all up?
Well, yes, in a way. I'm thinking about going to the prawn business. Slowly. But taro should stay. I think taro should stay. But if they don't get the disease problem licked, I don't know. I won't be raising.
What would you like to see happen to Waipio Valley in the future?
Just let it stand as is. Let it stand with whatever it has right now. Development more. Taro farming, yes. Keep everything historical.
Development now. Taro farming, yes.
Yeah. My dad was right, you know. I never liked taro before.
Yeah.
And you know, he put them in me, you know, and like I said, it's my passion now, you know. And bringing that passion to my son-in-law, my daughters, and all of that right now. And I feel we have a chance. You know, that the next generation, they seen it, you know, the culture growing now, and with the help of Bishop Museum and a different agencies can come in and help us. My dad would be happy because we can do more by himself. Eh?
Yeah.
You know, and that's like I said, I'm getting excited again. And to hear my dad say the same thing, the same issue is on the table, you know. For 50, 60 years. And I think there's a chance, you know.
That optimism that you're feeling, yeah. and he had that sense also of realism as well mixed in with that, and you do as well. But that, at the base of your optimism, What keeps that pumping right now?
To hear him and to see Bishop Museum going on the table with us and supporting us. I see one light, you know, now. And like I said, my family is getting excited too to see that happening, and in the whole community, even the farmers, you know, the Annunciation, all of that, you know, we working together now, you know, and more people coming to the meetings and everything. They see one need to grow our culture again. The Haloa, our brother, you know, was dying, and I see it growing now. And if I can be a part of this with Bishop Museum and the community, I'm all in to my last breath, you know, to bring the tarot going back, you know.
You know, and that caller we had just sort of indicates, or you hear this from a lot of people about, oh, boy, I don't know. People coming from elsewhere in terms of, you know, tourism, say, like, oh, I want good poi. I want the real, you know, the real thing. But there's an educational part that comes with it. It's just tourism. I mean, tourism in Waipio Valley, just in and of itself. You see these pictures recently of over, not just overcrowding, but people coming perhaps with the wrong mind frame.
You know, I think there is a way, you know, and with the help of Bishop Museum and our community, we need to bring the culture and the realizing that they're going to come. But there's a right way to do it, you know what I mean? And it's respect for the land and for their hearts. They gotta clean their, they are now the insides before they come to the valley, so they can feel the respect of the tarot and the culture. And I think I want to be a part of that, you know, because they're going to come, you know. And we need to share the culture and Waipio to the world now. You know, it's a living museum, you know. You know, we gotta train them, or, you know, make a way for them to come.
And Raymond Conning, the Bishop Museum, here with us as well. That's a challenge for you guys in terms of doing that. I mean, you see the same things. It's part of, again, as you're coming back to this situation and looking forward with it, and that tourism is part of the reality. And how do you deal with that? How do you manage that?
Yeah, that is a very big challenge, and it's trying to figure out the ways to make it so that people who visit understand the value and the values of our culture and how sacred Waipio Valley is. It's not just waterfalls, you know. It is very beautiful. There's no doubt about it. But it's something much more. And so those are all different things that we're trying to work on and figure out. Is how do we, you know, better educate people before they go down? And a lot of people go down not really knowing what to expect. I've seen people, they're walking down this very lengthy road, to windy road, dangerous road, carrying babies and no water. And you know, there are no facilities down at the bottom of the valley, and so people are ill prepared. And I'm sure Morgan could attest to how many times he's had to give someone a ride up from the bottom back up the hill, because it's a long trek. I made it myself just so I would understand, you know, what people go through. So that's the big challenge, is educating people. Perhaps with that education, some people will have the experience without needing to go down. But for those people who want to go deeper and get into the culture and understand the valley, we hope to be able to help provide those experiences as well.
You know, our last oral history interview today is a dual interview. It's a husband and wife team, Ronald and Cynthia Kanakoa. Ronald Kanakoa was born in Waipio Valley in 1941. His family moved to Kukui Haile when he was 11. He got a job working with a sugar company in his mid-20s, started farming taro about 3 years later in 1970. Cynthia Kaneko, born in Kukui'i Haele in 1947 to Samuel Mok Chu. You heard that in terms of the family farms mentioned before. She married Ronald Kaneko in 1966. When she did this interview, she was doing a couple of jobs, working part-time at a fast food restaurant in Honoka'a and farming taro part-time in Waipio along with her husband, Ronald.
I was brought up in Waipio, and we had to work our way to live by raising taro. We was little, and we used to pick the grass. That was our job, and my mother she used to pick shells for sell to the market, and we used to help her. We had to pound out or cook the taro and, pound our own poi. We lived by the land because we didn't have much money.
Cynthia, what about your involvement with your father's taro?
My older sister and brothers used to go down and do all of the work. I would go down only on weekends and help with weeding and pulling of the taro. I really didn't enjoy working, but from that time to now, for me, it's a pleasure.
What made you decide to start raising taro?
Well, I always wanted to have, a place of my own, at least to, find out if I can do the job. My father asked me if I wanted a place. That's how we got involved, and I really enjoy doing the job as a farmer.
That was in addition to your plantation job, right?
Yeah, it just was a side job for me. The job I had that time wasn't, bringing enough to keep my family going. I figured I could do the job, like raising taro, and I tried it. And we were satisfied.
Cynthia, did you work on that crop too?
Yeah, I helped him. We both worked together. We opened up the whole place. We worked from cleaning and planting and harvesting together.
Now, people have said that young people will not continue the taro farming because it's too much work and it's too dirty. How do you feel about that?
I don't think it's true, because the taro must go on. You cannot leave them like that. It's been going on for years. And the old timers now, they started when they were young. So even if we're young, we're going to have to carry it on.
It's really a hard job, though. I mean, I have to admit it. If you never worked, been in a taro patch, it's a hard job. But to us, it's just like it's plain because it's so simple. We was raised and, working in the patch, it's nothing to us. We enjoy the work.
Do you folks like to buy taro land?
Oh, if I had the money, I would really like to buy. I mean, that's the most wonderful place you can buy is Waipio. But today, the cost is so much. Cannot afford to buy any piece in Waipio. Other people been buying, they've been selling, buying and selling. And the price is so high.
Yeah, the land value now is like 10,000 an acre in Waipio.
We the small farmers, we don't have the kind of money to buy. Only I can say that they may own the land, but I own the valley because I was born and raised in the valley.
Morgan, you smiled on that last line. It's worth repeating. They may own the land, but I own the valley because I was born and raised in the valley. Mm-hmm.
I can feel Uncle Rano, and I feel that too. My daughters and my granddaughter now in Waipio, they want to be there too, daily. And the valley lures you back to the old style. And, after the day, I go up to Kuku'i Haele, and I miss the valley already. You know what I mean? And even right now, I'm here. I like be with my lo'i. But I can feel Uncle Rano and Auntie Cynthia that it's true. It lures you back to the simple life, as a taro farmer and humble. We humble people,
Talking about the families too, about now in terms of their now in Waipio Valley, how many families or groups of families or folks, how many situations that have like you in a multi-generational?
Yeah, maybe we got about 10 to 15 families. You know, they come on the weekends and work the lu'i, and you know, it's just important. And you know, we some 24/7. You know, as farmers for my family, you know, we breathe there, we make boy, we do everything. It's like Uncle said about the satisfying the soul, and you know, it's I need. Well, I feel that the farmers and the next people coming, they gotta feel that too. As part of the education and the feeling, the spirit of VIPO. Yeah. It's important to keep them going.
So here's just, I don't know, a more basic question. For us folks on Oahu, can we get your poi?
I can grow enough, so everything on the big island, eh?
Yeah.
Yes. I try bring them up here, but too expensive. Yeah. So, like I said, if we had more volume or production, I would love to bring the poi over here.
Yeah. You know? And Raymond, just again, in terms of challenges of where the valley is, but also where it has come from. You guys are really sort of in the relatively early stages of a new step in this.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like I said, it took us basically a year to learn from our partners, our new family, to better understand what's going on there and how we can help and assist, and to help figure out where we go from here, and really getting involved in the different community meetings and all of the other issues that are going on, and actually, you know, making relationships with not only the tenant farmers, but also the private landowners. And, I start getting more and more phone calls that are like, we hear that the museum is listening to us too now.
Speaking of phone calls, by the way, we got one from Princeville. Marion.
Hello.
Hello, go ahead.
Hi. I felt strongly to call because this news is just so thrilling that Bishop Museum has made the effort to move in this direction and create this living museum. And I'm just really happy and proud of this direction, and I feel it's crucial and so important to the future of the Hawaiian culture and assisting the taro farmers, and it's just wonderful news.
Mahalo for your call. And Raymond, in terms of folks who are interested, want to learn a little bit more in terms of how things are going, how can they go about that?
Well, they can reach out to the museum, leave a message for me. I'll get you back to you. I don't want to give you the number here, but I'll have a million people calling. We're eager to hear from people who have strong feelings about the valley and want to help. Whatever time I can make to talk to people, meet them in person, I'm more than willing to do it.
You know, speaking of how the past comes back sometimes in the present, Charles Reed Bishop acquired quite a bit of land around the islands, seemingly with a custodial attitude about a lot of it. He wrote in a letter, 1897, about lands, including some of those in the Waipio Valley, that once in the control of the museum, they should be protected perpetually. Mm. Sounds like you guys are on that mission.
Yep.
Also, back when they were talking about land sales, the Amy B.H. Greenwell Ethnobotanical Garden was among the lands for sale. Any updates on that situation?
The update is that it's been in the news. The friends of Amy Greenwell Gardens have sought out and received a variety of grants and funding, legacy lands, and they've gotten some forestry grants from the federal government. And so we continue to work with them to see if we can get something worked out.
So we'll stay tuned
on
that score. And Morgan, in terms of the community, your fellow farmers, again, you're positive, you're beaming, you've got a great positive energy, and I sense that hopefulness.
Well, Yeah, like I said, the farmers is coming together now. And we all growing together. And I see the next generation coming to meetings and all that. So, you know, I get excited and I really, really is pleased by my community that is stepping up to the plate and, you know, trying to do something with Bishop Museum and everything. And I'm sure and I'm almost positive that this gonna work now, you know. So I get excited. I just cannot say nothing. I'm honored to be a part of this, you know.
Raymond, any closing thoughts for you?
I'm also honored, and we appreciate that the family in YPO has welcomed us and really allowed us to do what we should do and help protect this living treasure.
Well, thanks so much for coming in this morning and talking about that. We're honored to be a part of that as well. And we're going to want to check back in to see how things are going. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. We'd like to thank our guest, Morgan Tolita. He's a third-generation taro farmer living in YPO, preparing for the next generation. Raymond Kong, Vice President General Counsel of the Bishop Museum. And thank you, our listeners, for joining us today. If you had a call, didn't make it on the air, you can still contact the TalkBack line. Leave your comments. 808-792-8217 is the number for that. You can also send us an email, talkback@hawaiipublicradio.org. Conversation podcast, hawaiipublicradio.org. I'm Bill Doran. Catherine's back tomorrow with more of The Conversation.